Hey, Chicago, what do you say? It's the CHGO Cubs podcast presented by DraftKings, America's top-rated sportsbook. Make sure you download the app and use the promo code CHGO when you sign up. Happy Monday, Luke Stuckmeyer, Ryan Herrera, and Cody Delmendo. We've got five more hot podcasts coming for you at least this week. In case we don't have some sort of breaking news, the breaking news podcast still might not be dead. You never know who might sign with the Cubs this offseason. Make sure you subscribe to the YouTube channel. We've been dropping a lot of new videos there, including our interviews from Cubs Convention. So you don't want to miss those. Make sure you subscribe. Five-star reviews, like Spotify. Make sure you're giving the five-star reviews. We want you guys to catch up to the Apple Podcast folks. And don't forget, we've got our Goose Island Happy Hour, virtual happy hour coming for the diehards this Wednesday night, 8 o'clock, our first one ever. We're going to be here tipping back Goose Islands with you and hopefully see everybody there. We see a pretty good list in the chat coming up today.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody's on time. We're on time. How are the vibes? How are the vibes after a football weekend? Cody, was it a wagering weekend for you?
Was it profitable?
All the boosts from our good friends at DraftKings Sportsbook hit. Every single one of them.
Oh, wow.
So, if you're not using DraftKings Sportsbook, I don't know what you're doing. Probably losing a lot of money.
You're missing out on chances to make money if you're not doing that. Yeah,
probably losing money. So someone in the chat is telling me to stop betting against the Chiefs. I bet against the Chiefs 2 weeks ago, and as I said last Monday, Riley Patterson, his foot deserves to be dipped in gold because he created the greatest backdoor cover of the year and of the entire football season. So betting against the Chiefs has worked out for me before. I blame the refs last night. That's my meatball take of the weekend is I blame the refs. So
I was hoping that hoping the fourth string quarterback for the 49ers was actually going to throw a touchdown pass because I knew somebody would make a ton of money on it if it happened. Somebody that had a prop bet for him throwing a touchdown pass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was they were good games. Even the first game, it was interesting until Purdy got hurt. Even after Purdy got hurt, I kind of thought that 49ers would hang around with their defense alone. But then, what's his name? Josh Johnson, legend Josh Johnson. He fumbled the snap on a shotgun play call they had, and I think that's what happened. And he after that, it was just. It was over. It was over after that, basically. So, yeah, I don't know. But I have family who are 49ers fans, so I felt bad for them. But I also feel like that'd be like the easiest NFC Championship to get over if on a losing side when you have no one to throw to literally throw the ball unless you put Kyle Juszczyk. I can't say his name. Unless they would have put him at quarterback or just let McCaffrey run out of the Wildcat every single time. Right. I don't know.
Can you imagine the Bears playing a fourth string quarterback in the AFC Championship game? Most people don't even know the quarterback most years for the Bears.
Caleb Haney, man. Never forget. He almost let
Brett Taylor. Brett Taylor over at Bleacher Nation made the point that, if you're looking at it in a Cubs point of view, the equivalent of losing four quarterbacks would have to be almost two full starting rotations worth of pitchers in one season, season ending injuries. It'd be Stroman, Tyone, Smiley, all the main five that are going to start the season in the rotation, plus the next five that would be behind him to match up to what the 49ers had to do.
Yeah,
we do. Oh, sorry. I was just going to say, we do have a lot of baseball to get to. We have a lot to talk about, including, what do some other moves around baseball mean for Nico Hoerner, whether or not he gets an extension this offseason. We'll wait and see. We're going to talk about our friend Justin Steele a little bit, who, by the way, is our sit-down interview coming up later this week from Cubs Convention. Top 100, everybody and their brother has a top 100 prospects list. Another new one drops today, but it's slightly different than the one that came out from another media publication at the end of the week. So we'll compare those two. And then we also want to start our position rankings or ratings or evaluations, however you want to call it. And we're going to start with an interesting one. So stick around with that. But the first topic does sort of that I want to, we don't have to spend a ton of time on this, but it does have a little football tie. the greatest thing that happened over the weekend was Travis Kelce in the post-game press conference on the field calling out the mayor of Cincinnati. So if we have that, Joey, I just want to play it for a second. For those who haven't heard it, the Cincinnati mayor had been talking a lot of trash, including the Cincinnati players, and this was Travis Kelce putting them in their place after the game, which was
awesome.
Top five trash-talking moment that I've seen.
I appreciate you. How about this beautiful trophy? Huh? Hey, I got some wise words for that Cincinnati mayor. Know your role and shut your mouth, you jabroni. You gotta fight for your right to party.
I love Travis Kelce.
He's so great. Don't you wish he was a member of the Bears at some point in his career?
That'd be nice.
No, Bears would have ruined him, so no, I'm glad.
Yeah, you're right. Bears are ruined. I just it got me thinking. First of all, it reminded me that the Bears are terrible and that it's depressing and that we don't get have moments like that. But it also made me think about what we talk about, which is baseball. And for all the people that are old like me that complain and want the old traditional sports to be the way they were 50 years ago, man, I wish trash talking was a real deal thing in baseball. Like, stuff like that is amazing. We get it every once in a while, but there's you don't see that very often in baseball. And that's fun. When your team's able to do it, it's a lot of fun.
Let me tell you, whenever you do see it in baseball, like, it's becoming a more and more of a thing. Not nearly as much as you see like in the NFL or even the NBA, no. But like, when you do actually see it in baseball, this amazing thing happens. People talk about the sport and people talk about the game, and like, it's weird because like, so many people, when it does happen, the reason people talk about it, it's not because they're supporting the player who's doing it or they're on the other side taking the L. It's people either crying about respecting the game or, you know, saying like the situation didn't call for it or whatever. Like, for instance, this last week, I don't know why Ronald Acuna is all over the internet, just playing pickup games back home. But I've seen a lot of videos of it, of him just playing pickup baseball back home. And I guess I saw a video, and I don't even know if this was like recently, but I saw a video of this guy who hit a home run in the fourth inning in like the Dominican League. I think it was Ronald Acuna. And he was just celebrating, doing all this stuff. And the controversy behind it is just so many people complain about whether or not you should be doing that in the fourth inning of a baseball game. And it's just like, who cares? Who cares, in my opinion? Cool. So,
well, there's like, you know, Law mentions in the chat, did Wilson's bat flip at Sox Park ever land? The one that great he threw so high in the air, you got it on the camera. But like, I mean, when I think about like trash talking, like the first one that comes to mind was 2021, Javi Baez hits the single off Amir Garrett, and you know, the whole sweeping the broom, all that stuff. And like, sure, like the old heads like hate that, you know, it's a gentleman's sport or whatever, like you're not supposed to be I thought it was really funny. I thought it was cool, and I thought it was like it was just a continuation of that rivalry. It didn't lead to any you know, benches clearing or brawls or anything like that. It was just those two have their own little rivalry, and it was just a little, you know, Javi won that iteration of the rivalry and did his thing, and then it was up to Amir Garrett to respond to it on the field, right? Like, again, it didn't lead to, they didn't brawl, they didn't fight on the field. They were, you know, they left it on the field, and that was that. So I know they have had their run-ins as far as like getting each other's faces in the past. So not to overlook thing, that, like, but just that episode itself. Yeah, that's just that thing, episode especially itself. It was the trash talk, and then that was that. Like, there didn't lead to any brawls or anything. Which even that, like brawls, whatever. That brawls will get more attention on baseball itself. But if you're like, oh, we don't want that to lead to fighting and stuff like that. Well, you know what? It was trash talking, and they left it on the field, and that was that. Like, I thought it was a cool moment that didn't lead to anything that didn't need to happen.
Yeah. The Baez and Amir Garrett stuff is like a great example. Like, sure, perhaps Javi Baez, when people, like, a lot of people think, especially when he's with the Cubs, a lot of people thought, like, outside of Chicago, a lot of people thought Javi Baez was one of the most overrated players in the league. And to me, The reason that they would do it is because the MLB account would always like tweet videos of him. The reason being, though, is because so many freaking kids loved him. You know what I mean? It had nothing, honestly, it really had nothing to do with his game. It had everything to do with just his personality and his, you know, hobbyisms, as you could call them, on the field. And like, that was how they were trying to grow the game. But a lot of people who didn't like him just took it as he was just overrated. Cause yeah, he led the league in strikeouts 1 year, whatever. But the whole thing with him and Amir Garrett is like, yeah, he's well known, like as in bias, but Amir Garrett, I don't think the casual fan would know who Amir Garrett is, but when that stuff happened, like people learned who he was and like it created talk. It created, you know, controversy around like just, you know, two teams and I don't know, like just it created buzz. And that's one thing that's always kind of lacked in baseball compared to the NBA and the NFL. And like, and it all comes down to so many people who are just like, you're supposed to hit the ball and run and do it respectfully. And if you don't do it that way, then you're not doing anything the right way. And it's like, it gives me an aneurysm, man. It makes me like,
well, and then here's
living shit out of me. It's so dumb.
Like, I want it in golf too. I want guys talking trash in golf on the golf course after somebody misses a putt.
Yeah. Right. Well, my thing is whenever people like get mad at a guy's, you know, bat flip or celebrate a home run or whatever, it's like, well, the other team should just not have let up a home run, right? Like, that's my take. Is like, it's like, if you don't want guys celebrating their home runs, and don't let up a home run next time. And that's why, like, I remember I was covering the Reds that day, the day after the Amir Garrett, Javi Baez thing, talked to Amir Garrett, and like, credit to him. He's like, you know what? He got me. Like, I wasn't going to start a fire or anything because he got me on that. Like, he hit the single, he got the walk off, scored the run. Like, Amir Garrett knew he lost that day and didn't. I mean, he didn't really take issue with it because Javi Baez got him, right? So it was up to Amir Garrett to get him back the next time. And that's what it should be. It's like, if you don't want guys celebrating what they like when they beat you, then don't let them beat you. That's my whole thing. Mm-hmm. Settle it on the, like, you don't have to fight about it. Like, settle it on the field as far as don't let up a home run or take it when a guy cranks one off you. That's my take on it.
Yeah, I don't need the fights, but if whether it's Javi last year at Guaranteed Rate listening to the fans as he rounded the bases was great, or Javi against Amir Garrett, or Wilson the bat flip, or whatever. I just hope to see tons of it in the World Baseball Classic. Like, that's where I really want to see it. That's the next place I'd like to see it carry over. And then I would like the players to enjoy that so much that they take it to the major league level, and you don't have a bunch of old people saying, stop it, respect the game. Just, it's a kid's game. Let them play it like kids. And if they want to be stupid, well, then they'll regret it when they look stupid the next time around. It doesn't
like
matter.
Like Eli Apple, for example.
That's right. So anyway, I watched that post-game press conference and I thought, man, how great would that have been when I used to do those end-of-game interviews with a player on the field at Wrigley? You know, what if Mark DeRosa would have been like, you got to fight for your right to party. That's what I want to see in those post-game interviews instead of just straight answers.
Yeah.
The Gatorade bath has worn out. So revving up the fans would be something that I would like to see a little bit more of.
I will say that it's a little bit more, I wouldn't say it's fully normalized yet because people still get pissed off about it, but it is becoming more and more of a thing. At least on like social media, I've seen a lot of players go back and forth trash talking on social media. You might not hear it in post-game interviews, stuff like that, but you know, baby steps, I guess. I don't want to repeat myself, but they're moving. They're moving along in the right way. So
I see in the chat, people are talking about that it gets settled on the field. Like, yeah, if someone celebrates a home runs and then they get drilled by a fastball to the ribs the next time, you know what? Like, you don't want guys to get hurt with fastball. But it's like sometimes that the guys police the game themselves on the field, right? And that's how it should be. It shouldn't turn into people calling out players for celebrating home runs. I was like, if you know, you take your licks on the field between players, that's how it should be policed, at least, right? That's how it used to be,
right?
Guys take care of their teammates and you know, take care of business on the field.
Cody alerted us to a trend going on. What is it? Instagram or is it Twitter, Cody, where people are posting Margot Robbie's picture and then a report from fake report from TMZ saying so-and-so is dating Margot Robbie. And we saw it on Twitter. Yeah, we put out the one very briefly that had Nico Horner, but it was because Nico's so damn good looking, we had to take it down because we thought, well, people might actually believe this. Then then some guy goes and puts up a Jack Sanborn from the Bears one and he gets like 700 likes. So, or impressions or whatever that stuff is called. So now I'm wondering, who is dating Margot Robbie? I don't know the answer to that.
And it's actually me. It's actually me. That's why we had to take it down because, like, you know, someone hacked the CHGO Cubs account yesterday and tweeted it out. And I was like, who had the audacity to do that? What a moron. I mean, what are you doing, man? Like, so we had to renew the password and just, you know, I had to put a full statement with, you know, run-on sentences out there for everyone to know that I am in fact dating Margot Robbie. Cassidy,
Dustin Allen says no, she's in the court.
Just keep moving along. Just keep listening.
We'll cut out this part specifically for Cassidy's podcast feed.
She won't hear that part.
Yeah. Exactly.
She'll only know about the pair of Jordans you gave her for her birthday. That's it.
Absolutely.
That's the last thing she'll see on her feed. I wondered, like, who would have to, could we put in there that would be so obviously not that person that it would be funny? And the first person I thought of was Ronnie Woo Woo. But is there anybody else that we could say is dating Margot Robbie that would be fun?
Michael Rucker.
Me.
Michael Rucker. Jonathan VR, not on the team anymore. Oh, but the VR slander is not, it's not fair. It's not fair. He was a good player for a long time.
We bring him up every show. Luke.
Yeah. It's too much. It's not funny.
Everyone's saying Carm in the chat.
The thing about Nico is that I didn't want to totally talk about him today, but then McNeil went and signed an extension over the weekend with the Mets. What was it? 50 million, 60 million, 4 years, 50 million with the Mets. You know, it got me to thinking, well, he was the batting champ. But would that impact any negotiations for Nico? Would Nico's I don't know if it impacts his negotiation or not, or even if there is one, you know? Mm-hmm. And if I'm a player, I just don't know how many guys or when a guy is going to bet on himself and just play it out versus taking the Kyle Hendricks deal and be like, you know what, that's still a lot of money and we're still going to be fine. And I might as well take the security of that. I don't know which guy Nico is. And I don't know if the Cubs are really offering an extension right now. But when you see McNeil get that, I think to myself, even though he was higher than Nico Horner in these alleged lists that came out that we went through and I told you were fraudulent, he's every bit as good as McNeil. And in my eyes, he's better. So
I question how Nico believes I want to believe that Nico is for his sake, obviously looking at it for him, but also looking at it from a team perspective, as in, you know, if he takes this contract extension now, opposed to just going through arbitration every year, I think he would be more likely to take an extension now or in spring training, whatever, if he was fully on board for, you know, believing in what the Cubs are, you know, are trying to push to the team in terms of what they're trying to do and being successful. And if he doesn't believe in it, then, you know, we'll never know. He's never going to say it, but that might be something that might linger in the back of my head is, does he believe that, you know, he wants to even be here long term? So I don't know. It's tough. I don't think the McNeil contract really matters. It's not like he got an outlandish amount of money. Mm-hmm. He's also significantly older. So, you know, he won the batting champ or batting title. So he's cashing in on his big year. You know, maybe Nico thinks he can have an even better year and get a better contract extension after next season. I don't know. But I think, and this is me saying it selfishly, that he would take one now for the betterment of the team and not letting it become a distraction, I guess. But again, I don't blame him if he wouldn't do that. I said it. We've said it about every player. They have the right to decide on that kind of stuff. But that's kind of how I feel about it. If he fully believes on the direction of the Cubs, then I feel like he might take one now.
Yeah.
What about what Barbara and some other folks in the chat are saying about, like, you know, the injury side of it? Do you think that factors into the Cubs' decision and their perspective on extension talks, that he's been banged up a little bit?
Yeah, I think it factors in on both sides. It could factor in because, it really, out of what he debuted in 19 at the end of 19 and, you know, played 20, 21. Like, this is the first full season really that he was healthy for most of it. And he still had injury. He still had that, you know, the freak accident, whatever, in May was this one thing, but he had that tricep injury later in the season that kept him out for a few weeks. I think it could factor in on both sides in the fact that, like, Nico, the Cubs may look at it like, hey, we're willing to give you this much money right now. You know, before you've had one full season of health, but we want to give you this money because we believe in you. But then Nico could also, on the flip side, think like, hey, yeah, you know what? Like, I believe in my body, but they're giving me this money now. Or he might say, like, you know what? I want to go and prove that I can be healthy. I want to go out and prove that my injury history, quote unquote, that is weighing me down or causing the Cubs to offer me less money. I want to go out and prove that I can stay healthy for another season and show you that those injuries, that history is, you know, history. It's not what affects me now. I could see Nico feeling that way, but I could also see him being like, you know what? Like you said earlier, Lou, this is a good amount of money. We're going to be like, the money is there. Could I potentially get money in a couple years? Sure. But right now we're getting a lot of money and it's good enough. It's going to keep me set for the rest of my life. Like that kind of mentality. I could see Nico having that mentality because he likes being here, likes being on the Cubs, wants to help build a winner and wants to be committed to the, you know, to this team. So the injury history, definitely might impact it a little bit, but I guess we'll kind of have to see how that plays out.
Yeah. And if he started dating Margot Robbie, probably wouldn't need an extension because, you know, they'd be sharing a lot of money, just like Justin Verlander and Kate Upton. So should we do our first position evaluation? You want to do that real quick before we get to break? Cause it's not like the first one I picked is not, it's not a sexy position. DH, right? Like, DH, how would you evaluate the Cubs? How would you evaluate the Cubs at DH going into this season? If you had to give them a letter grade, what would you look at? I mean, realistically, who are we talking about? You know, it's Trey Mancini for sure is somebody they'll probably do some DHing, right?
Yeah.
Who else do you think you'll see at DH? Morel? Madrigal?
Don't say
that. The thing is, like, there's going to be a lot of guys that you probably see rotating in at DH, which is like maybe that's the new normal in baseball now. But I mean, like, even a few years ago, you had guys that, you know, didn't play in the field. They DH every single game, and that was their role on the team. And with the Cubs, you don't really have that. You have guys, you have platoons that, like, hey, this guy's playing first base today. You know, Hosmer's playing first base today, so we're going to have to DH Mancini. Oh, you know, Patrick wasn't playing third today, so we might have to DH Morel or the other way around, right? It is weird considering, like, you don't really know what to expect from a lot of the guys. A lot of the guys right there are question marks, right? Can Christopher Morel kind of rebound from, you know, the second half wasn't as good as his first half. Can he kind of find that spark that he had when he started, right? Can Patrick Wisdom keep up the home run totals while lowering his strikeouts? Is Nick Madrigal a good hitter in the major leagues that can stay healthy, right? Like, there's a lot of question marks, and a lot of those guys are going to end up probably hitting at DH at some point this season just because, well, the Cubs are trying to get all those guys in the at-bats. There's not a whole lot of room on the roster outside of, like, DH. So you're not going to have your everyday number one DH guy. You're going to have a few guys rotating in, and that's where it's going to feel weird. It's going to feel weird, and I don't know exactly what to expect from that right now.
Yeah. I think Wisdom, Mancini, Mervis all make sense as DH guys throughout the season. But because of what Ryan is saying, if I had to put a letter grade myself on it, I would say C, because they don't clearly have a guy that fits the mold as the big bopper DH who, you know, they don't have their Eloy Jimenez, who's a clear home run hitter who you really don't want in the field anywhere, right? Like, they have Hosmer's not that guy. Hosmer's good defensively. He's got multiple gold gloves. And he also isn't the huge home run guy. So they, I'm not saying they're poor at the position. I just, they're not the typical DH guys that are for the Cubs. So is it a spot that could improve in the next few years? Absolutely. So that's why I put it at a C.
Yeah.
I'd probably put it at a C as well, but I think there's a ceiling that could, you know, by midseason, we could be saying, wow, the Cubs are really good at that position, depending on, you know, certain guys, player performance, of course. Obviously they have options. I think this start the year, you'll probably see Mancini there a lot. And then depending on, you know, player struggles or player, you know, if a certain player is playing so well that you got to play him every day, you know, then you could see a guy, Patrick Wisdom being there. I don't think Morel is someone that we'll see there a ton. Hosmer, I doubt it. So I would say Wisdom or Mancini are your top two at that position right now. And if they use Wisdom in DH one day, then that would give them the opportunity to play Morel at third to get them both in there if they wanted to. So I give it a C just because I just don't know who's doing it every day. Kind of like what you said, Luke, with Aloy on the other side of town. Like, I know he wants to play some outfield, but if the White Sox are smart, they should be DHing that guy every single day. but, you know, is what it is. I'm interested to see if I were to look at every team in the league, like how many teams are using the same DH every game. I don't know if over half the league is doing that. So especially in the National League, because it's still new in the National League. And I think teams are still, when I'm not saying adjust, but with the way that a lot of teams in the National League have historically done things, it's something that I feel like teams just haven't gotten to that full AL style, I guess, if that makes any sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Not everybody's got a Vogelbach, right? Like,
yeah,
not everybody has the perfect guy to put in that position. Anyways.
I mean, even the Phillies, everyone always thought Schwarber was always just your DH, but I mean, the guy got good enough defensively where they could play him in the outfield. Mm-hmm. And even though the DH is now in the National League, the Phillies still play him in the outfield more than they do DH. So I know that'll probably change as he gets older, but you know, it's just not so black and white with
it. Castellanos is another guy, but like for the Cubs, you know, everybody wants to say it's the first baseman. I think it's Mancini and Mervis more than it's Hosmer. I feel like if Hosmer's in the game, or if he's playing that day, he's going to be the first baseman because he's the best glove at first base. So I don't know why he, you know, I don't see this too many scenarios for him at DH in my opinion. Anyway, Cody, we got to get to some ads. What's going on with the NBA and DraftKings, and what kind of wagers are you looking at this week?
Well, guys, they got a no sweat same game parlay on DraftKings tonight that you can, you know, I don't know what the limit. It's probably up to $10. But all you got to do is opt in, put $10 down on some same game parlay, and if it doesn't hit, then you get your money back in a free bet. So you're not losing anything. So it's a cool thing. NBA fans, it's time to bring the hoops action to the palm of your hand with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. This week, new customers can bet $5 and win $200 in free bets instantly. Plus, for a limited time, all new and existing customers can get a no-sweat same-game parlay every day. I literally just said that. Go to the DraftKings Sportsbook app today, opt in, and place a same-game parlay on any NBA game. And if it doesn't hit, you'll get a free bet back. I don't really have one crafted yet. It was something I'm going to do after this show. The Bulls don't play tonight. So, you know, admittedly, when it comes to the NBA, I don't watch all across the league as much as a lot of people. So all I know is you opt in, you put $10 down on some same game parlay, and if it doesn't hit, then you can get your bet back. And that's one of the beauties about DraftKings Sportsbook. So download the app now and sign up with code CHGO. Again, new customers can bet $5 on the NBA and get $200 in free bets instantly. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA, with code CHGO. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. Void in Ohio See show notes for details.
Our next partner has a product I use literally every day. Started taking AG1 because I didn't have time, wanted better gut health, more energy, and an optimized immune system. Now I've been on it for almost a full year, and I love it. It doesn't taste like it's super healthy. Oh, no, it's got a tropical taste, and it is super healthy. So I take it first thing in the morning. Here's what it is. One scoop of AG1, you absorb 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens to start your day right. A special blend of ingredients supporting your gut health, your nervous system, your immune system, your energy recovery, focus, aging, all those things. I get a noticeable boost of energy, so that's what I do first thing in the morning on an empty stomach and giddy up. Lifestyle friendly too, whether you're keto, paleo, vegan, gluten-free, dairy-free, you're all good with AG1, investing in an all-in-one nutritional insurance for less than $3 a day, recommended by professional athletes. Right now, reclaim your health and arm your immune system with convenient daily nutrition, just one scoop and a cup of water every day. That's it. You don't need to take a million different pills and supplements to look out for your health. And to make it easy, Athletic Greens is giving you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs when you go to get away with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/CHGO Cubs. Again, athleticgreens.com/CHGO Cubs. Take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. Go ahead.
I was going to say, Barbara's asking in the chat who's the Cubs utility infielder. And as we've talked in recent weeks, there's more than just one at the current moment. It's going to be interesting to see how they, you know, cut down on the roster in the spring. But I would say right now it's a mixture of Madrigal and McKinstry with Mashburn as a minor league depth piece as well. But who knows? Who knows what's going to happen with
and Morel a little bit.
Yeah,
you know,
and David Bodie's also in AAA too, at least technically on like as far as roster right now. And obviously, he has plenty of major league experience. So, yeah, but yeah, they have a lot of guys that I hope we don't have to see a ton. That's all I can say. But good depth off the bench is important. So,
it'd be even more helpful for the Cubs if one of the three or four guys that we just mentioned really has some sort of breakout season, like, or has the best season of their career. Like, that would be helpful to this team if one of those players could step out of that group and show that they are clearly the person they're looking for. They're looking for the Ben Zobrist of the future. If one of those guys could highlight himself as that with a great season, that would be helpful for the Cubs as a franchise for sure.
Yep.
Did you guys see Justin Steele having a good time? He was at a party, you know, left the baby at home and went and had some cocktails. It looked like maybe this weekend.
His wife, I think it's his wife. It's either his wife or his girlfriend. Put the video up on her Instagram story Saturday night. And, he then put it on his Instagram story from her. And that's how I saw it. And I just thought it was the funniest thing. Cause I've never seen Justin Steele in that mode before. He was defining what vibes were, when I talk about vibes on this podcast. He quote tweeted us yesterday when we tweeted the video. He said, "What did he say? Parents don't get out very often anymore."
Right. Well, I know what that's like. And also, then he was on our friend the show, Rich Biesterfeld, had pictures of him yesterday or today out in Arizona. So he's already in Arizona. Based on Rich's pictures, it looks like a lot of young guys are out in Arizona already. And he was throwing a football around because we know how much he loves football. And then he reposted Rich Biesterfeld's photo saying, yeah, and with the Uncle Rico thing, I could throw that thing. Anyways, it was a funny thing that I saw in the clip. Now, something I saw on the internet that I didn't like was what Corey and Brennan were talking about in Friday's podcast, where they went with Greg Haas talking about where MLB Pipeline has some of the prospects ranked. And everybody has the same three in the top 100 for the Cubs. Literally, I think if you went to your next door neighbor and said, hey, who's your top 100 prospects, they would list those three in the top 100 just in a different spot. But and Keith Laws came out today, and he had Brendan Davis at 50. But what they were talking about with Greg Huss was that now MLB Pipeline has moved Brendan Davis because of injuries last year down into the 90s. That doesn't,
92,
it doesn't
right?
seem fair for a guy. I know everybody loves PCA, and I love the idea of PCA, but just because a guy was hurt for a year doesn't mean he's not still the top prospect in the organization necessarily either. Right. Like, I'm not evaluating him versus PCA. I'm just saying, how does a guy go from 28 in Keith Laws to 50 this year? And I don't know where he was in MLB Pipeline last year, but to go from knocking on the door of the major leagues, the Cubs' top prospect, down to in the 90s, I hope he makes them eat their words.
He was a top 20 prospect in all of baseball going into last season, and then moved down in the middle of the season because of injury, and then just now this newest ranking from MLB Pipeline moved him into the 90s. I'm pretty sure that's how it played out from a – you know, time frame. So as far as MLB's ranking, my two cents is that, you know, there's just a lot of really good prospects coming up. So, you know, he didn't have anything to show last year. He didn't play well, and then he was hurt. And so, you know, you see other guys from other organizations, you know, take a bigger step. So that's honestly, that's kind of how things work out. Ryan tweeted it out, like the rankings, and I quote tweeted and said, I hope someone takes this tweet and slabs it on his locker and puts a chip on his shoulder, man. Like, he's got a lot to prove. A lot of people, I mean, I know he's still in the top 100, but to fall from a top 20 prospect all the way to almost outside the top 100, to me, that's telling. And so I hope, not that he needs any motivation, but I hope it's just extra motivation for him going into spring. As you said, with Rich and his photos, he's already in Arizona. That's awesome to hear. So I hope he saw this and has a huge chip on his shoulder to prove, like, hey, I was almost here. So that's my two cents on MLB's rankings. And, you know, with Keith Law, I guess it made me feel a little bit better, but whatever. We talked about this before. Everyone has different opinions on rankings and stuff. And I've said before, I don't follow the minor leagues, like guys like Greg Huss and Greg Zumach, like, enough to know, like, oh, this guy is far and away a top 50, and this guy's, you know, he should be outside the top 100 for this guy. Like, I'm always going to be honest about it. And I'm just glad the Cubs have the three in there. Some people can argue that maybe more deserve to be in, but again, every organization has good prospects coming up. Almost every good organization does. So that's the way that I look at it, to keep myself from getting too high and too low on it.
Yeah. Well, my two cents, the Brendan Davis part of it is like the fall from, I don't remember exactly how high he was ranked last year, but the fall all the way to 92, it seems unfair. Like Lou was saying, like it feels like a little too steep to completely knock a guy that, you know, had the June back surgery. Like, that was affecting him, clearly was affecting him before that, affected his ability to play. And, you know, the Arizona Fall League. So he ended, I think it was 5 games in the Arizona Fall League before he told us at the Cubs convention that he kind of just felt some soreness and just figured it wasn't the time to push it at that point in the season. So I think the biggest knock, or the biggest reason for the MLB Pipeline to be putting him as low as 92 is because he missed pretty much the entire season with injuries. And, you know, anytime you hear back surgery, it's never a great thing, even though the Cubs said, for what it was the best case scenario.
And not structural, but, right?
It's not structural.
He doesn't have a disc problem. I said disc problem. It was like a vascular thing. Like, it had nothing to do with the guy having like a traditional back problem.
So it wasn't like I said, as far as when you hear the words back surgery, it was kind of best case scenario in that sense, and the Cubs have said that. I don't know how, I'm not a prospect guru, I don't know how someone gets dropped was it 60 some spots in just the matter of a season. But obviously, you know, the MLB pipeline sees things differently than I do or than we do, right? But in terms of like why the Cubs only have three prospects in the top 100 in most top 100s, I think there's just so many guys. And the Cubs have a lot of good prospects. They don't have a ton of superstar, can't miss guys. They don't really have any of those, but they don't have a ton of just, like, guys. Yeah, at least that are ready. But they do have really good prospects in there that really have built up this depth in the farm system. And you might have a few guys that are just like a few steps back of being in that top 100, like maybe in the top, like, you know, in the one like just past 100, 110s, 120s, even like guys that with good seasons could rise into that top 100 pretty quickly. But they're just, you know, borderline, they're barely outside of the top 100, right? We don't know, those lists don't rank beyond 100, so we don't know where some of these other Cubs prospects landed. But I can see that there's a few that with good seasons could find themselves in the top 100 pretty quickly. I mean, a guy like Cade Horton's so high on a lot of these lists. I mean, he was number 4 in MLB Pipeline's rankings. He didn't even play a game when they updated it last season. He didn't play a game in the Cubs system, and he was number 4 for the Cubs. So if he comes out and he balls out in the minor leagues, he might find himself in the top 100 pretty quickly, right? Like, so that's things like that change. And just because the Cubs only have three top 100 doesn't mean they don't have a lot of pretty good prospects in that system.
I guess if there's one guy that I'm surprised hasn't been able to sneak into that top 100 from the Cubs, not named Alcantara, Davis, or PCA, is someone like Jordan Wicks, just because he was a first-round pick a few years ago. And from all accounts and from people that we've talked to, you know, a lot of people are excited about him and what he can potentially be. And not just like all the prospect guys who follow Cubs prospect systems all say starting pitcher. And so, you know, lefty, first round pick. What is he missing that's keeping people from keeping him out? I don't fully know. So, again, I'm on the outside looking in, and I don't follow it as closely. But that's one guy that I've been surprised to see that he hasn't made it into the top 100.
I think there's too many lists. Period. Yeah, there's a lot of lists. Like I said, everybody's got a list. Why don't we just do a list? We haven't seen any of them play, but it's real easy. You can look at Brendan Davis and say he didn't play last year, so let's drop him 50 times. Like,
a lot of work.
Whatever.
We'll get you on. That's your project for the preseason.
I'll put out my fraud list of just like list. Put out list for list because it draws clicks. Like, some of them are legit, some of them aren't. The one thing that Keith Law did post that I found interesting in his little article, and again, he suggested that Brendan Davis, since bulking up, had lost his speed and now projected as a right fielder, could project as a right fielder, which raised my eyebrows because Say is in right for the near future, right? Like, and yes, I could see how he could come up this year and really impress. And if they decided to move on from Ian Happ in left field, I could see Brendan Davis playing some left field. But the position that's open right now is center field. Until PCA arrives, center field is the one that's open. I know Cody Bellinger is there. It's interesting to see how players' bodies develop. And somewhere where you thought a guy was going to be, he might not necessarily be when he gets there. So I'm not going to pencil him down for any specific position in the outfield, other than to say a non-structural back injury seems to me like a long way to drop a guy for someone who hasn't had back injuries outside of that. It's not Anthony Rizzo having a back injury at the major league level that creeps up every year, back injury, back injury, back injury. This is the guy had something develop and it bothered him for a whole year and it took his year away, but they think they have it solved. I see we have a super chat.
Yes, we do.
The Duke 811. I see him in the Bears podcast stream all the time on YouTube, sending them large amounts. So I appreciate Duke giving us some money, right? $9.99. Good afternoon.
The font's too small. I can't see it. Can you guys read it?
Yeah, Cody's got it.
Good afternoon, Cubs bros. This pod mentally puts me in a warm Wrigley seat drinking a stupidly expensive beer. Yeah, you ain't wrong there. Keep doing the Lord's work. Season can't come soon enough. Yeah, man.
Thank you, man.
I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Appreciate it and agree. The season, see, like I'm starting to get a little antsy knowing that like the season's almost here. Was it 60 days from like today?
Yeah, 60 days from today, opening day.
We're getting there. We're getting there.
Pitchers and catchers, Ryan, getting real close.
For the next 2 weeks, I want to say.
It's absolutely freezing in Chicago today. So, yeah, I'm counting down the days to the spring because I am over this. I'm so over this cold.
Let's just get to Arizona. Keep sending super chats so we can all go to Arizona.
Please.
Well, and not only that, it's just like even just the pictures from Rich, like people that are tweeting stuff out and photographs and stuff, something about seeing somebody in warm weather on green grass, even if they're wearing like a warm-up or something, it makes you feel like it's not that far off, right? Yeah. 59 days, 60 days. Granted, I know if the first time you're at Wrigley Field this year, we all know you're going to be in a snowsuit. You're going to be in a Carhartt, like the full overalls and giant boots, because that's what happens for the first 2 months of the season. But something about those first days of spring training and then seeing the Cactus League games makes you feel like, it's not that far off. I think that's big for Chicagoans because we go through such a miserable, long winter. That's the carrot they're hanging out in front of us is that look at sunshine, warm weather. It exists somewhere. You can go. I don't know. I hope it comes soon. What do we got? ComEd facility.
ComEd.
Right, let me find my ad read here. Friends at ComEd facility. Here we go. The ComEd energy efficiency program committed to helping families and businesses in the communities we serve save money and energy. ComEd offers free facility assessments that can help find energy-saving opportunities, whether it's lighting, HVAC systems, commercial kitchen equipment, or industrial processes. An authorized engineer will work with you to develop a detailed assessment plan specific to your goals and needs that can be done in person or virtually and last approximately 2 hours. Within 3 to 4 weeks, customers receive a report detailing energy efficiency projects that they can start working on right away. Each recommendation will include estimated energy savings, cost savings, project costs, potential incentives, and simple payback. Don't wait. Get started saving money and energy today. For energy saving tips and to schedule your free facility assessment, go to comed.com/poweringbiz. Ready to sign up for a facility assessment? You can call them at 1-855-433-2700. That's 855-433-2700. During normal business hours to speak with a ComEd Energy Efficiency Program representative. You can also email them at businessee@comed.com or request an assessment online on their website, comed.com/facility assessment.
Barbara says they need to serve Jaeger bombs at Wrigley.
Warm you up.
I mean, maybe, I'm not reporting anything, but maybe they have Jaeger bombs at the DraftKings Sportsbook when it opens up, right? Like, we don't know that.
That's a touchy subject for Cubs fans right now, Ryan. How dare you?
Because DraftKings Sportsbook is the official betting partner of CHGO and All City. That's why. The stage is set, and we're counting down to the battle in Arizona. There's no better way to get ready for the NFL action than with the DraftKings Sportsbook, official sports betting partner of Super Bowl 57. New customers can bet just $5 and get $200 in free bets instantly. Plus, all new and exciting customers and existing customers, can take a shot at an even bigger payout with DraftKings stepped up same game parlays. Boost your Super Bowl 57 winnings with each leg you add up to 100%. Talk about the stepped up same game parlays. I've been doing them a lot and I've won a couple, right? They're tough. I want to say Zach LaVine keeps letting me down on those bold stepped up same game parlays. But I won one wild card weekend. It was on the Chiefs game. I don't remember exactly what legs it was, but it was like you had 2 touchdown scores in there. A nice little chunk of change for like $5, right? So
I had one leg miss. I had a parlay and I needed Juju Smith-Schuster to get 50 yards receiving and he didn't come close. I think he got hurt too. So.
Yeah, he got hurt.
Yeah. It happens. That didn't help, but
it didn't hit anyway, but like the Isaiah Pacheco, I had him as a touchdown scorer in there, and then he scored one, and then I got called back for holding, I think, or something. But like it didn't end up working out anyway, so I'm not as mad about it. But it was like I was kind of pissed at the moment.
I feel it. Yeah, been there.
Yeah. So download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code CHGO New customers can bet $5 on Super Bowl 57 and get $200 in free bets instantly. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code CHGO. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. Void in Ohio. See show notes for details.
Thank you very much. Did you see, notice our friend of the show, Michael Cerami, say, hey, the Cubs could use a uniform update, which got people all fired up on Twitter. Do you feel like they need think they need anything new? Not the
he was talking about bringing those. I don't ever
want them to touch the home uniform, by the
way. You know, our friend Mike Cerami, he got what he wanted. He wanted engagement on his tweet. He gave his hot take. He got it, but I disagree. I think the white pinstripes are classics, and they'll never go out of style.
I think he's talking about the Red Bill hats. I thought that's what he was talking about.
I think those were two different.
I don't want the Red Bill hats.
Was there two different tweets?
I think those are two different tweets. I think the one he was talking about was like the main home. And that's why people were like upset about it.
I think it's because they don't wear a lot of throwbacks. Like they'll wear the City Connect on Friday home games. Yeah. And then they wear the pinstripes at home as well. Now, they used to wear like those alternate blues at home, but they don't do that anymore. So I think what he was asking is for like just a little bit of a like you don't always have to wear the pinstripes at home games, even though, you know, it's a top five uniform in baseball, in my opinion, for home games. But, you know, I personally would just like to see more throwbacks. You know what I mean? Like bring
over
back
the City Connect, over the one. City Connect one, Cody, like over the Wrigleyville one.
You know, again, they wear those on Fridays. So, I mean, any other day of the week, man, like, and they don't have to do it every week. I'm asking for like once a month, something like that. You know what I mean? Cause nothing beats the pinstripes at home on a summer day at Wrigley. Like nothing really beats it. But the way I read his tweet about the uniform thing was about, you know, just a little switch it up every now and then. You don't always have to wear those. And, you know, I get it. Like, they wear the City Connects on Fridays, but I'm asking for just like a throwback once a month. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I like it's those. Not the home one. It's the road uniform that I think could use an update. And I can't remember who the player was that we talked to. Might have been Keegan Thompson, but I don't remember who it was. Somebody was raving. One of the players was raving about how classic and how sweet the gray, all gray road uniforms are. Like they love the road uni. I'm not as into it. They've had it for a while. I would love to see them go back to one of two things. One, the white pants from the 80s, and then the V-neck sleeves, like think Andre Dawson, Ryan Sandberg,
yeah,
right?
The red and like white trim.
Yeah, almost like a pullover V-neck, right?
Yeah.
I like that. And then I've also would like to see them just like instead of doing the City Connect ones like they do on Friday at home, let's say it's a Friday on the road, I'd like to see them set a standard where they have 10 times a year the old like 78 to 81 powder blue uniform, pants and jersey with the white pinstripes and the number on the front. Like I picture Bill Buckner in this uniform. And and it was a love hate at that time for people with that uniform because it sort of looked like kids' pajamas. But there was some, now everything is, you know, you get so much retro stuff. Mm. Now I look at that and go, wow, that would be a ride on some road games.
I need the powder blues. I think every team in baseball should have some version of powder blue uniform. I think those look the best. Mm-hmm. I mean, I hate to say it,
the powder blues are pretty cool uniforms.
Cardinals have great ones. The Phillies have really awesome powder blue uniforms. Like,
I don't want every team though, because then powder blue will like run its course, and then it won't be cool anymore.
I think every team should have it, but the Cubs had some really good ones. Was it like the '70s? The '70s, and they bring them back every once in a while. Like, I know I've seen pictures with, you know, current day Cubs wearing the powder blues, and I think they still look super cool. That should be a jersey the Cubs wear at least once a year.
Yeah. That I also would not be upset if they just wore the Field of Dreams uni once a year. That uni was awesome.
I do like when I think of old Ernie Banks photos and Ron Santo, you used to see like it almost looked like a flannel, like a gray flannel, you know, almost like Roy Hobbs-ish, right? Like, but it didn't even look like the normal fabric that you see in a uniform. It looked like it was a flannel gray, and it would say Chicago. I'm cool with that. The other one I don't want to see is the one that Sammy used to wear, where it like is cursive Cubs across the chest. The that was a terrible uniform. Terrible. Like, so
a lot of people
that one I don't mean.
Yeah. I like the jersey the way it is. I just want a little bit more throwback implemented. Like I don't think they need to change the actual jersey. Though I like those blue alternates, and I would actually be excited if they started wearing those at home again. So
Doug said he wants high socks back. And yes. I like high socks.
I do too.
I always say when they wear the City Connects on Fridays, they got to have the high socks to make the uniform immaculate vibey. Immaculate vibe. You will have immaculate vibes if you show the high socks on Friday 120s in the Wrigleyville unis, because those powder blue socks, they're so awesome. They're so awesome. I went and bought a pair. I never wear them because they literally are baseball socks and come up to your knees, and I have no reason to wear them. But they're cool though. I like
CHGO them. Softball games.
There you go. Like,
See, that might be the thing to take down some of the big boys in softballs. If you can't just have everybody show up in different stuff or CHGO t-shirts. You need to go out and buy a jersey that has some kind of sick vibe to it. Everybody's got to have the pants and the shirt, even the people that are filling in. Everybody's got to be dressed the same way. Look good, play good.
If we want to get past Odyssey next season, I think that's the first step.
You got to look. Yeah, you look good, you play good. I think that's what Edward Osley said, right? You look good, you feel good, you play good.
Is it Odyssey or is it Audacity? I always get those two confused.
What's the difference, Luke?
Real quick before we go, did you see that SB Nation had an article about who's going to replace Chip Carey? And they had suggested people. Okay. And this was a couple days ago. And on that list, they had two Chicago names. They had Boog because he did the Braves games from like 07 to 2009, 2010-ish maybe. And then they also – so I thought, well, that'd be crazy. Why would he go back, leave the great gig that he's got at Marquee where he only has to do about half the games, and then the rest he goes and does his national stuff. Mm-hmm. And – but the article lost its credibility because they missed the fact – one of the other names on the list, high on the list, was Jason Benetti, and they literally just put out a press release days before that saying – Jason Benetti has re-upped with the White Sox. So is Steve Stone. So it's like, come on, man. Like, you got to at least pay attention to who's off the market completely.
Is this the SB Nation Cubs website?
I think it's a like Atlanta one. And I'm not sure that Boog would be able to get out of his deal at Marquee, even if he wanted to go back to the Braves.
Yeah, I mean, I guess he'd probably have more fun in Atlanta in terms of calling the games because that team has World Series aspirations, but like, I don't know.
Well, but give it a couple of years, right?
Right. Well, hopefully
we're stealing their players one player at a time, starting with Dansby.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. If he did leave, I don't think many fans would be upset, but I don't know who they'd replace him with. I really don't.
Well, I saw Barber suggest, what about Chip's twin sons that have been doing it in the minor leagues together? And that would be a huge jump, but it would be kind of cool for another member of the Carey family, you know, the third generation to be there calling it, because Chip's dad, Skip, used to do it.
I guess if you went in the organization, I think Alex Cohen is great for Iowa Cubs. Like, you wouldn't be a big name that, like, jumps out to anyone, but I do think that he deserves to be doing something other than minor league baseball. I think he's great. So, Boog ain't going anywhere. I'm just saying, if he actually did, I genuinely don't think a lot of fans would be upset because he just hasn't been here long enough for us to either fall in love with him or just completely hate him. So he's just right there in the middle right now.
Doug says, I'll trade Boog for Acuna.
Yes, Well, now that sounds like big brain stuff right there.
Does sound like a good trade if you can trade Boog
for Michael Harris. Come on, man.
All right. Thanks to everybody that was in the chat today. How many likes did we end up with? Did we get enough likes? I don't know what the official number would be. I can't see it either.
Joey will let us know. Well, we should. Anyway, before you leave, click that like button. Before you leave,
click the like button before you go. Make sure you give us a 5-star review.
Holy shit, he's got a super chat.
Whoa.
Oh my God.
Won't let us end the show. He says for $50, Boog can go. Bring back Len. White Sox aren't going to do anything for a long time. Also, here's some dough for the CHGA softball uniform.
My man. The Duke.
Let's use that money so we can go to spring training. Everyone tell Jake and Kevin, thank you.
The Duke quickly rising up the CSGO Cubs chat rankings.
Absolutely. That'll do it. That'll put you at the top. In fact,
yeah,
$50. I mean, we should, that could get us uniforms, or we could run it on DraftKings, for some Super Bowl bets, and we might double that or triple that. Just an idea.
Perhaps.
We'll see. Thanks for checking out the CHGO Cubs podcast presented by DraftKings, America's top-rated sportsbook. Make sure you download the app. Use the promo code CHGO when you sign up. We'll see you back here 1:20 live on YouTube coming up on Tuesday. Until then, fly the W.